be with you this morning. We are victorious. Amen? You know, the Bible reads in Revelation 21, it says, he who overcomes, he who is victorious will inherit all this. I will be his God and he will be my son. And the church said, amen. You know, we talk about the whole theme, as you know, from the conference was victorious. But of course, you can't be victorious if you haven't overcome trials. Are you with me here?
Amen.
And so the whole concept of being victorious and overcoming is one in the same. And today I'm excited because I want to talk about, the title of the message is simply Victorious Through Prayer.
Amen.
Victorious Through Prayer. I truly believe that God wants to answer our prayers.
Amen.
And I truly believe that we're not going to become the men and women God wants us to be unless we're really working through our hearts in prayer.
Yes.
You know, here in Nigeria, prayer is something that's very, very common.
Yeah.
They have all night vigils. People pray. Are you a man or woman of prayer? They talk about prayer all the time. But the question is, has prayer changed their character?
All right.
Has prayer changed their life?
Right.
You see, a lot of people look to prayer as if God is a genie.
That's right.
Come, give to me, give to me. And they will pray all night, looking for God to answer their wants.
That's right.
Instead of coming before God, broken, asking for forgiveness, asking for his mercy and his compassion,
right,
asking God to be able to mold them and change them to become more like Jesus and less like themselves. See, that's the challenge for us here this morning.
Amen.
Is God our genie or truly our almighty God? The title of the message, I said, is Victorious in Prayer. And, you know, first of all, I just want to say how grateful I am to be back.
Amen.
Patrick and I and the Lego 7 miss you all very, very much.
Yeah.
But I truly believe that God is working through this time.
Yes.
Us going to Manila was incredible. I mean, the whole theme of events was based on the book of Revelation. But I think what even surpassed that was the focus on prayer. Because throughout the book of Revelation, God talks about to those who overcome, to those who are victorious, he'll give us the crown of life.
Amen.
And here in Nigeria, guys, we have to fight to be victorious. Amen. This is not an easy place to live in. I truly believe God allows us to go through trials to break the pride and the stubborn will that we have. So that we can be used by him.
Amen.
Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 7. You know, during the conference, I got to celebrate, Patrick and I got to celebrate our 12th anniversary. So I was able to encourage my bride. It was an incredible time. And funny enough, you know, our anniversary is actually on August 6th.
Wow.
Now, August 6th, you guys don't know, but if you were Jamaican, you would know that it is Jamaican Independence Day.
Yes.
Now, what's interesting about all this is that August 6th is the Jamaican Independence Day.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the key things I realize is that we don't need more independence.
Amen.
We need more dependence.
Amen.
And so really, as I've been studying up prayer this week and really readdressing and reevaluating prayer in my life, I realize now that prayer is really a declaration of dependence.
Amen.
On God. And I have to ask you this morning, is prayer your declaration of dependence?
Amen. Wow.
Is that what prayer is for you? Because remember, prayer is us talking to God. One of the key things I've noticed even since being here in Nigeria is that people don't like to get open about their sin.
Yes.
But yet, it's prayer that should be cutting our hearts, allowing us to be open and honest.
Yep.
And again, so again, I ask you, is prayer really doing that in your life?
Come on, you talk about
is prayer really helping you to be more open, more honest, more real? Mm-hmm. Are you changing because of prayer, or is it just an act to make you feel better? Guys, we've got to study this out today. And so, I resisted the temptation to just start Revelation today, because I want to do a series on Revelation with you.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about prayer today, because after all that we've gone through, especially here in this church, I believe we've got to be relying on God more than ever before.
Amen.
And allow me, as you turn to Matthew chapter 7, to confess my sin to you. Prayer for me has been something I've always had to fight to do properly. I've prayed all my life. I've taught on prayer. But prayer, I don't believe is natural. I'll tell you why. Because if you're a prideful person, if you are a self-reliant person, if you are a self-confident person, it's hard for you to pray. Because you feel you gotta go, 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 go. You're a type A personality.
Wow.
And so what ends up happening is we go, 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 and then we say, God, please be with me, please be with me. Go, 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 go. It's almost as if we want God's seal of approval on what we're doing.
Wow.
Versus going to God and saying, Lord, I put all this before you. Now you show me what I should be doing.
Wow.
Are you seeing the difference here?
Yeah.
Guys, this is huge for us. I learned how to pray out of desperation. God had to break me to really help me to see how important it was to pray. It's usually when life gets serious that we pray.
Yeah.
Not usually out of duty, but usually out of desperation.
Yes.
What have been your most intense prayers?
Come on.
Has it been out of duty or out of desperation? When someone is sick. When you're sick. When you want a job, when you need resources, we pray out of desperation, don't we?
Yeah.
And I think very often, it's our challenges are the needs that call us to prayer. And I believe with all my heart that God wants to show us the riches of His grace and the poverty of our own resources.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what God calls us to do. I truly believe the nation of Nigeria is being held under God's hand unless we change.
Yep.
Unless we truly decide to become righteous and not just religious.
Yeah, come on. Yes.
Take a look here with me in Matthew chapter 7.
Come on.
In Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read here starting in verse 7.
Come on, bro.
The Bible reads a scripture that we should all know very well.
Right.
It says, ask and it will be given to you.
Yes.
Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now, ask, seek, and knock. Those are commands of God.
That's right.
But what's really interesting here is that it gets more intense. You ask. And then, it's like, for example, if you give an illustration. Hey, you're asking, hey, is anyone here? Is so-and-so here? You don't see them. Okay, now what do you have to do? I need to go seek. Where are they? Where are they? I need to go seek them out. I still can't find them. Oh, he's behind that door. I need to go knock. Come, come, come. Do you see? It gets more intense.
That's right.
And that's really what God's calling us to do in prayer. We ask. Sometimes we feel like, where is God? You ever feel that sometimes when you're praying?
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to go seek it out. You have to seek out, really, not just God is always there. Sometimes you have to deal with your own hearts.
Yeah.
You have to seek out what is really going on in your own heart.
Yeah.
You may know, oh, I need to do this.
Yes.
Oh, I need to stop being lustful. Oh, I need to stop being prideful. I need to stop being deceitful. But really, in your heart, do you really want to? Maybe you need to seek out your heart to see where you really are at.
That's right.
Maybe you need to knock down that door and really start figuring out what do you need to do to change to be the man or woman God calls you to be.
Amen.
It goes on in verse 8. For everyone who asks receives. To him, he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, what does that tell you? Do you believe this?
Come on, bro.
The Bible says here, the door will be open. God will hear your prayer. The question is His response. And that's the issue for us. We don't like when God says no. God hears our prayers. He even hears the prayers of non-Christians, like Cornelius.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Isn't that how people come to know the Lord?
Yeah. Yes.
But sometimes, even as Christians, we don't necessarily like when God says no. I'm gonna talk about that in just a second. In verse 9, the Bible reads, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, do we not have evil deeds, family?
Yeah.
Know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, let's stop there. This is interesting. It says here, it's comparing us to God. God's basically saying, okay, if you know how to do good for your children, how much more do I know how to do good for you? Now, according to this passage, it says we don't ask because we don't believe. I know for me, guys, I had to work out my prayer life. Prayer was not my strength the way it needed to be in the past. I'm just letting open you. I'm an evangelist in the kingdom of God. I can preach on prayer. I pray every day. But I know, having studied out prayer, what real prayer needs to do.
Yeah.
What real prayer needs to accomplish.
Yeah.
And so, since I got here to Nigeria, I started a prayer journal. Mm-hmm. And literally, from the first day we landed in Lagos till now, I write in that prayer, in that journal. And literally, I can go back and read some of the prayers that I've read. What's really powerful is at the end of the book, I wish I brought it to show you today. At the end of the book, I have a section on family. I pray for my family. Fellowship, I pray for you. And then friends. And literally, I checked off. I remember when Victor was studying the Bible. I checked his name off. I remember when Kaine was studying the Bible. I checked his name off. I literally will have men that I pray through, studying the Bible. I remember when Paul was getting ready to move from Abuja. I checked his name off. Amen. I pray. And the thing is that when you pray like that, now you see what God has done. Very often, we pray. And we forget what we pray.
Yep.
And then when God does it in our life, we're like, oh, I guess it just happens by coincidence.
Wow.
And we don't realize, whoa, God answered our prayer and you didn't even see it.
Right.
Wow. You know, in this passage right here, it's interesting because in verse 9 he says, which of you, if a son asks for a bread, will give him a stone? I was like, why did he give that illustration? Oh, well, stones in Palestine looked like loaves of bread.
Wow.
They were like these circular loaves. And so when people are walking around, they look at a stone and it looks like loaves of bread. This whole issue of if you ask for a fish, we'll give him a snake. Like, where does that come from? Oh, well, if you study it out, actually, when commercial fishermen went to now go and fish, when they caught the fish, there would also be water snakes within the net. So if a fisherman's son came up and said, hey, daddy, can I have a fish? He's not going to go in there and give him a water snake. He's going to give him a proper fish. But that's how the whole snake and fish. You see, all the stuff we're reading here, it relates to what was going on back then.
Yeah.
Right? And so I look at this and I realize, well, the point number one is very, very simple. God wants to answer our prayers.
Amen.
That's what this passage here is showing us. God wants to answer your prayers. Do you believe that?
Yes.
He literally gave Jesus here, our Savior and Lord. You got to ask yourself, do you believe what you just read? Do you just believe what you just read? That God wants to answer your prayers. But here's the question, though. God answers godly prayer.
Amen.
Let me explain by this. Turn over to James chapter 4. Turn over to James chapter 4. I want to show you something. This is important. Because you see, very often we pray and we think, well, God better answer my prayer.
Wow.
Is your prayer a request?
Yeah.
Or is it a command?
Wow.
Is that what your prayer is?
Yeah.
You command a genie. You request the Almighty God.
Wow, amen.
And then we get a bad attitude when it seems as if God doesn't answer our prayer. Who are we to get a bad attitude? Can you imagine?
Wow.
I mean, guys, this is deep. Prayer exposes how prideful we are.
Yeah.
Prayer can a lack of prayer exposes how prideful we are, and a bad attitude to prayer shows how prideful we are.
Wow. Come on, bro.
It reveals it all, guys. In James chapter 4, what does the Bible say? Everyone there?
Yes.
Well, we're a Bible church here, so I expect you to read with me.
Amen.
We're not one of those churches that, oh, you just listen to what the pastor says and then you go home. That's nonsense. You need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Amen.
That's why there's so many churches here in Nigeria, because people are following personalities rather than the Word of God.
That's right.
The Bible reads here in James chapter 4, verse 3, it says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives.
Wow.
That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Wow. James chapter 4, verse 3. You see, guys, God answers godly prayers. He will still answer your prayer even if you have an ungodly heart. But guess what he'll say? No. So, for example, I'll give you an illustration. If the request is wrong, if it's just a bad heart, bad motives, God will just say no. If the timing is wrong, God will say slow.
Amen.
So it's either no or it's slow. Right? You may be saying, God, I want a husband now. God said, go slow. Slow. Right? You want Mr. Right, not Mr. Right Now. Okay. Right? So if the timing is wrong, God will say, slow. I want this job. Slow. You know why? Because you're not ready for this job. You're not ready for this spouse. I'm going to talk about that in just a second.
Come on, bro.
If you're wrong, if there's something that you need to change in you, God will say, grow.
Wow.
You need to grow before I answer your request. You're not ready to handle what I have to give you. So, if the request is wrong, he'll say, no. You have wrong motives, no. If the timing is wrong, he'll say, slow. If you're living in sin, and you need to change before God gets, he'll say, grow. And if the request is right, if the timing is right, and if you are right, God will say, go. You with me here? It's either no, slow, grow, or go.
Amen.
Where are you right now? What is God trying to teach you? Frequently in the process of prayer, God had to change me before he answered my prayers. And I think for us, you know, I want to encourage you. God wants to answer your prayers, but the question is, are you ready for his answer?
Come on, bro.
Are you ready? Because see, God is not just focused on the product. He's focused on the process.
Yeah.
We want things. We want the product. Give me the product. God's like, no. I can give you the product, but you may not be ready for it. I'm going to show you the process.
Yeah.
You must change for me to give you what you need. Not necessarily what you want, what you need, because I know what's best for you.
Yeah.
And you see, that's the thing. You've got to ask yourself, prayer should produce peace.
Mm-hmm.
It really should.
Mm-hmm.
If you really trust that God wants to answer your prayers, it should produce peace. Let me show you one more scripture. Turn to Philippians.
Come on.
I want to encourage you guys here. Because with so many people praying in this nation, I still wonder why there's so much corruption. I still wonder why there's so much disunity in 10,000 churches in Lagos alone. But what do I know? I'm just an American here on visa. But you know what? I have the Spirit of God in me.
Amen.
And I'm trying to give you an outside perspective of what I see. I'm not here to judge you. I am here with you. I walk your streets. I eat your food. I have Nigerian blood in me. Amen. Now, Alpha. Now, here's the thing. Here's the real deal, though, guys. We got to get serious.
That's right.
Because we can't have a form of godliness and deny its power.
Yes.
There are too many people out there doing that.
Come on.
When I was on campus this past Friday, you see people walking around doing all this great. They're going on, and I'm like, whoa. Let me. And you know, it's intense because people talk about praying in the spirit and praying in tongues and all that stuff. I'm like, they say, I can't control it. The spirit just leads me. And I'm like, this is interesting because for some reason, when I drive up, you're able to move out of the way. So if you say it's uncontrollable, I wonder how is it you're able to move out of the way when you see my car coming? Is it the spirit that protects you too? Okay, amen. But guys, we got to get serious here.
Right.
I hear all these people chanting and going off and all this stuff. And I'm like, show me that in the Bible. Show me unintelligible language in the Bible.
Come on. Not one.
Show it to me. Show me where Jesus spoke in tongues.
Never.
Not Andrew. Never.
Even though tongues just means other languages.
That's right.
Bonjour, ça va bien, too. That's French.
Amen.
It's not gibberish. Mama say, mama sa, mama kusa. It's not. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm trying to make something very clear to you.
Amen.
Yeah. We've got to go back to the Bible.
Amen.
And not what the world says, calls tradition.
Yeah.
Are you with me here?
Amen.
We got to get conviction for what God is saying. If you have a problem with that, I'll be happy to sit down and study the Bible with you. I'll be happy to sit down with you. You know why? Because I know all these people, and I've studied the Bible with many of them, who claim to be Christians, speaking in tongues, and are still sleeping around with their girlfriends, still smoking weed, still cursing, but then they come to that place and start speaking in tongues as if that's supposed to show themselves to be righteous. Don't tell me you're righteous when I sing songs and I know the Bible. Show me a righteous life. Show me a repentant life. You pray all night? Okay, your prayers all night. How has that changed your character this week? You see, God is trying to change us, and that's why I think Nigeria is where Nigeria is. Nigeria could be a superpower. We have all the resources, we have all the incredible people to be a superpower. But you know what we also have? We have a lot of false religion. We have a lot of empty religion that leads people astray, and Satan is laughing.
Come on, bro.
We got to have conviction.
Come on, bro.
My Bible tells me in Philippians chapter 4.
Okay. All
right. Let's see what the Bible says here.
Come on in.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Let's read with me, please. The Bible reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Rejoice in the Lord when you can't even get outside your door because the door has stopped working this morning in our house.
Amen.
We could not even get outside our front door. The lock would not want to open. We're like, Satan, amen. I started to pray. I'm like, we're going to thank God we have a back door and that key works.
Amen.
Satan is going to try every way to kind of discourage you.
Yeah.
Every way to try to mess you up to make you stop relying on God.
Mm-hmm.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, just in case you were not convicted. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all.
Amen.
Are you a gentle person?
Come on, bro.
Are Nigerians gentle people?
No way.
I love how people drive here. I'm being sarcastic. I don't like how people drive here. I can't stand it. But you know what's really intense? Is when someone cuts you off. And like Balaji talked about, they'll say all these wicked things, and then all of a sudden, you'll see on their back, oh, irresistible prosperity.
Amen.
They'll have all these different religious slogans on their back of their car while they cut you off and curse at you.
Wow.
Talk is cheap.
It really is.
How do you live your life?
Come on, bro.
I am not a perfect man. I sin every day. Every day I have to fight to be pure, fight to be humble, fight to be selfless, fight to be patient. But I thank, by the grace of God, I have the opportunity to repent every day.
Yes.
That's a gift given by God. It goes on here. Let your gentleness be evident in all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. By what? Prayer and petition. Wow. That means everything. Everything actually means, guess what? Everything. Okay. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Oh, there it is. It doesn't say, tell God your commands. It says, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what should prayer produce?
Peace.
Are you at peace this morning?
Come on, bro.
Do you believe God wants to answer your prayer?
Yeah.
Because if you really trust that and you have faith in our Almighty God, then you should be at peace. Because everything that happens in your life, God allows to happen or makes happen.
Yes.
He did not call us out of the darkness into the light to make us just sit around and suffer in all the drama. No, God allows us to suffer so that we can grow in our obedience. So that we can be molded and shaped to become more like Him. But is that what prayer is producing in your life? Is this what you see in Nigeria? With all the prayer vigils and all the hours of prayer, what is it produced? Is it out of selfish ambition?
Wow.
Wrong motives? Is it producing what God says it should produce? Or is it just many words like the pagans and what Jesus says. Do not pray with many words. Sometimes people think, oh, I have to pray for 2, 3, 4, 10 hours to be righteous. No. How long is the Lord's Prayer? Now, don't get me wrong. We should want to pray.
That's right.
And pray long. Why not? But don't get it twisted. You're not righteous because you pray long.
Right. Come on, Andrew. Appreciate you.
My question is not the quantity, it's the quality.
Amen.
Is the quality of your prayer life producing this?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Come on, bro.
Otherwise, you just go through the motions and it's done nothing except assuage a guilty conscience.
Yep.
Come on.
That's it.
Point number two.
All right.
Turn over to Mark chapter 1.
Come on, bro.
We are too busy not to pray. You know, when we were in Manila, it was intense because I'll tell you right now, this was no vacation. We worked hard.
Yeah.
I literally gave 7 lessons plus a major speech for 40 minutes. I lost my voice. Thank God it came back. But during all the lessons, then now Patrick and I are having, everyone's like, Andrew Patrick, can we have time with you? Can we have time with you?
Come on.
Bro, just 10 minutes, please. 10 minutes, bro. I'm not joking.
Yeah.
People from India, people from England, people all over. Please, can we spend some time? God's working powerfully in Lagos. Please, can we spend time with you? Honored to be able to spend time. But it's tiring.
Yeah.
I mean, it's exhausting.
Right.
It is.
And so, but yet, we still went to bed 12, 1 o'clock, sometimes even 2 o'clock. On our anniversary night. Sunday night. All day, giving, going, after Sunday. I mean, I talked to Patrice, she's like, yeah, baby, let's do it, right? Appointment after appointment. And finally, when we were done, we're like, I had this whole plan, flowers to the room, champagne.
Woo!
I mean, I had a chocolate. Oh, I had it. I surprised my wife. She opened, I was like, I don't have my key. Could you open the door for me, please? So she now opened the door. She's like, turns on the light. She's like, huh? It is pretty awesome. But I was not too busy to encourage my wife.
Amen.
So,
awesome.
Anyway, so we go inside. We enjoy it. You know, have a glass of champagne together, take some pictures, and then we go back out again. We go back out again for more stuff. And then finally we're done. Okay, now we can relax. There's a Nigerian couple who's studying the Bible in Manila. Her name is Jessica. His name is Samuel. Thank you, baby. And literally, they're about to baptize them. We're like, whoa, hey, let's see if we can get in there and help you. Well, needless to say, we got in there and they were not ready.
Amen.
They were far from ready. We finished with them, what time? I don't know. 2 o'clock in the morning? 1 o'clock in the morning? We came back home, or to our apartment, or at the room. I said, happy anniversary, babe. We just passed out. We just flat passed out on the bed. That was our anniversary. But you know what? My wife is a sold-out disciple of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, this is what we love to do. She knows I love her. I know she loves me. I love you, baby. And this is what we've devoted our lives to. And it was awesome. It was awesome. You know, but why do I share all this? Because we're too busy not to pray.
Yes, amen.
In Mark chapter 1, we see an example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what's powerful here is that if you were to look at Jesus' life, you'd be like, this guy's a workaholic.
Yeah.
Honestly. You would think, this guy's a workaholic. Like, you need to repent, Jesus.
Right?
Honestly, if you were to compare him to the Christian standards today of comfort and prosperity. How would Jesus measure up? Well, it's interesting here. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus, I mean, this guy is working. I mean, He's calling the first disciples. They drive out the evil spirits. News about him is spread all over Galilee. If you look it up in verse 28, it says, news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. Oh, hold on a second. Simon, as in Peter, right?
That's right.
Peter had a mother-in-law.
Yay.
That means that Peter was married. So that means he had a wife. So what's that whole Catholic doctrine about Peter being the first pope? Oh, just something for you to catch there. Okay. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. They told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, helped her up. The fever left her. Amen. Got to pray for Paul's fever there. And she began to wait on them.
Come on.
That evening, so hold on a second. He's been driving out evil spirits, taking care of Simon's mother-in-law. Now, verse 32, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed.
Wow.
The whole town gathered at the door.
Yes.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the whole town of where you're living gathering at your door?
Wow.
And Jesus said, no, listen, it's been a long day. I'm tired.
Wow.
Give me some time to relax. Is that what he said?
No.
What does he say? Jesus healed many who had what? Various diseases. He also drove out many demons, and he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Verse 35. Around 12 noon the next day, after Jesus had a lot of time to sleep after a long day. Is that what it says? What does it say? Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went up to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you!" Jesus replied, "Why is everyone looking for me? Leave me alone! I just need some time to myself." Yeah. Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come."
Wow.
You think you're busy? Have you ever had a whole town come to your door?
No.
What did Jesus do after probably the busiest day of his life? He got up early and went to pray.
Amen.
See, guys, we're too busy not to pray.
Amen.
What is your excuse? You know, prayer, I think, in a lot of ways, is like that wartime walkie-talkie. You know, it's like, you know, you're in war. Because I tell you right now, and I'm excited for Tina and Josh to share about the war room for the communion.
Amen.
In a lot of ways, guys, I think, yeah, you ever see like a movie on war?
Yeah.
Right? And you know, like they're in there, the bullets are firing, and they have like, all right, send in the reinforcements, send the artillery to bomb this place. They're coming down on us now. I mean, it is serious. It is intense. But sadly, I don't think prayer is like that for us. Instead of that wartime walkie-talkie, really designed for accomplishing a divine mission, it's almost like people have taken that wartime walkie-talkie of prayer and turned it into a civilian intercom to call their servants for another cushion so that they can sleep properly in the dead. It's not like, oh my gosh, I'm crying out to God, help me now. Satan's trying to attack. It's more like, hey, servant, can you bring some more pillows so I can be more comfortable here?
Wow.
What's your prayer life like? Is it loud crying and tears? You know, for me, guys, I realized for myself that prayer is work. I think one of the things I had to come to a conviction on is that prayer is not easy. Prayer is war. Prayer is conflict.
Yeah.
I mean, if you read 1 Corinthians 9, 25, well, let me just show you quickly. Come on, let's take a look. We're a Bible church. Take a look here. I just want to show you some adjectives when people talked about prayer in the Bible. It's interesting here because the Bible talks about it really being, actually, turn on, sorry, forgive me. Colossians chapter 1, forgive me. I want you to see this here, because when people pray in the Bible, what did you see? It says here in verse 29, "To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me." It is exhausting.
Yeah.
It is a struggle. Guys, this is huge. I mean, in a lot of ways, if you take a look over in Colossians chapter 4, take a look here. I want you to see this. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible reads here, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always what? Wrestling in prayer. For you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. See, it's not just prayer for ourselves. There are two types of prayer, personal prayer and intercessory prayer.
That's right.
You're praying for others and you're praying for yourself. Are you with me here?
Yes.
You've got to ask yourself, how much intercessory prayer are you doing?
Wow.
How often do you pray for others?
Wow.
Versus praying for all the things you want.
Talk about it, bro.
Guys, I'm just trying to teach you as I've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the battle with you.
Yeah.
We're in this together. Amen.
Come on.
But I have to realize God does nothing without prayer. And so we've got to really turn over to Matthew 18. I want to show you this here.
Come on, bro.
Take a look at Matthew chapter 18. Have I lost you?
Money.
Okay. Are you tired?
No.
Okay. And Matthew 8, let me tell you, I'm still a little jet lagged, but I'm fighting on. Matthew 18. Take a look at what it says here. I think this is huge, and I want to give you guys a plan. I want to give you guys a plan for prayer, because it starts with planning. You're not going to have that time to pray and really cry out to God if you don't have a plan.
Right.
I believe every single person in here who desires to please God wants to pray.
That's right.
The issue is not your intention.
Yeah.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
The
issue is, do you make it a priority?
Talk about it, bro.
Do you set time out in your day? The funny thing is, it's amazing. We all find time to take a shower. We all find time to brush our teeth.
Come on.
You all found time to look really nice today. You all dressed and looking very nice.
Come on.
But the issue is, we make time for the things that are a priority in our lives.
That's true, bro.
So don't tell me you don't have time to pray. No, you don't. You do have time to pray. You just don't make it a priority. If you don't stop deceiving yourself, it will never change.
Right.
Yes.
Are you following what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Take a look at Matthew chapter 18. The Bible reads here in verse 19. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them.
Amen.
That's encouraging. Amen.
Amen.
I want to ask you guys to have a plan to pray. Here's one way to do it. Obviously, you have to do it in your own personal prayer. But I want to encourage you, specifically, if you are a guest, you may not understand what I'm about to say, but if you're a disciple here, you are all in your small groups. You're all in your Bible talks.
That's right.
Yeah.
I want to challenge you to get two more people in your Bible talk, and you take time out during the week to pray for the people studying the Bible, to pray for your Bible talk, to pray for the church.
Amen.
Take 30 minutes. Take time, whatever time you have, take some time. And imagine if every single person has two people on their heart they're praying for.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're praying for three people, that's six people you're praying for right there. You know, I'm so proud to see how God is really raising up the professionals Bible talk. Even though we've lost a dear brother in Paul, I see the brothers raising on up.
Amen.
Franklin raising on up, Ernest raising on up, Clinton raising on up. And I was talking to, Franklin, he's like, bro, we're going to get Ernest and Clinton. Oh, by the way, Ernest, I got your Bible, bro. Happy birthday. Amen.
Yeah.
We're going to get together and we're going to disciple each other, bro. We're going to go for it.
Wow. Amen.
Is that the way your Bible talk is?
Come on.
Prayer warriors. We're going to get together. And, you know, because here's the thing. You can't have, if your Bible talk is stale right now, if your Bible talk has not produced fruit, then there's something wrong.
Sure.
You don't just keep doing the same thing expecting different results.
Yeah. Amen.
So now you've got to now stop, reflect, and assess. Okay, what do I need to do to change? Guess what the first thing is? Prayer.
Sure.
You're not, this is a spiritual battle. You're not going to win this because you're so eloquent.
Mm.
You're not going to win this battle because you look so good and attractive.
Mm.
You're not going to win this. We have got to cry out to God. God, please use me to help someone else get to know you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so incredible to know that Lonely has come to be baptized today.
Yeah.
The sister's praying.
Amen.
And again, guys, you got to understand, there are many religious people, but we've got to get united on the Word of God.
That's right.
If you're a guest here today, I want to encourage you. You're obviously here because you have a heart for God.
Absolutely.
But now the challenge is simply this. We must get united on this.
That's right.
We don't need more churches.
Yeah.
We need more unity.
That's right.
Amen.
I don't care where you go to church. If you're a guest here today, we're honored to have you here. But here's the deal. I want to challenge you. If you call yourself a Christian, sit down with the person that invited you, or if you came out by yourself of your own accord, sit down with folks here in the church. Let's get united. We have a whole study series to unite us on the first principles, the elementary teachings of God's Word.
Amen.
We're going to talk about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about what it means to be saved biblically.
Amen.
We're going to talk about what false doctrines are out there.
Yeah.
So you know the difference between someone who's just giving you some false doctrine with a little bit of Bible.
Yeah.
And what the scriptures actually state.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to really be united, then that means that you just want to build your own little definition of what Christianity is to
That's
you.
Right.
That's why we have 10,000 churches in Nigeria today. It's not because people aren't seeking God. It's because they're too prideful to get united.
Yeah.
They believe that they're good to go.
Yeah.
Well, is Nigeria good to go?
No.
Not at all, bro.
Are you good to go?
Not at all, bro.
See, I had to realize that despite my medical background, all this training in Ivy League schools, going this, that, having all the pedigree, I was still a lustful, prideful, deceitful man.
Come on.
And it took me having to sit down with the Word of God for brothers who cared about me to help me see it. Where are you this morning?
Rich.
If the Word of God is working so powerfully in Nigeria, why is there still 83% divorce? 83% divorce. And it's mostly on the woman's side.
Come on.
That is the world we live in, family. And unless we start getting united on the Word of God, I beg you, if you are a guest here this morning, study the Bible with us.
Amen.
We don't claim to be perfect, but we have a perfect standard.
Amen.
And we're going to take out any type of interpretation, any type of tradition, even your own emotions. We're going to push that off to the side, and we're going to examine the Word of God. Is that what you want to do this morning?
Yeah.
We are here to help you. If you want to know God, we will help him make him known throughout Nigeria together. Amen.
Amen.
But I want to challenge you, disciples. This week, get together with two or three others in your Bible talk. If you have Bible talk on Thursday, get together on Tuesday. And let's pray.
Amen.
Let's pray for the people studying the Bible. Let's pray for our Bible talk to be fruitful. Let's pray for the church and the needs of the church. How do you think God's going to work? I truly believe it will work through prayer. Amen?
Amen?
My last point is simply this. Prayer protects us from discouragement.
That's right.
Amen.
Now you may say, Andrew, man, let me tell you. Turn over your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. You may say,
Andrew.
Andrew, you know what? Sometimes I pray and I get more discouraged.
Yep.
You ever felt that?
Yes.
If you're honest, you'll say yes.
Yes.
You know why you get discouraged?
No.
Because you didn't get what you want.
Yeah.
Because you're not really going to God with a heart in submission.
Yeah.
You're going to God with a heart of entitlement.
That's right.
Wow.
And I think, guys, we got to watch ourselves here. Are you discouraged this morning? Because according to Philippians 4, prayer should produce what? Peace.
Yeah.
Which means that if you're not at peace, you're in sin.
Right.
Let me say that again. If you're not in peace, then you're in sin. Why? Because whatever prayer time you think you had obviously didn't do anything to change you.
Right.
Why do you think Jesus himself had to pray for hours before he went to the cross?
Wow.
Did Jesus want to go to the... Oh, yes! Stick nails into me, please.
No.
I want that.
No.
Jesus had to get his heart fully surrendered to the plan. He knew what he had to do.
That's right.
But in the flesh, it was still a battle. What are you battling this morning? What dreams have been lost or broken? What hopes have been dashed? What is it for you this morning? Ushers, let's please get on the ACs. You know, I'll tell you, for me, I was discouraged at one point in my prayer life when I lost my mom. I remember praying for my mom for 7 years. 7 years. I would not stop praying as a disciple. And I realized that, you know what? I cannot force anyone to do anything. And that my mom had to make her own decision. But I still remember to this day, funny enough, that's what helped me really start writing out my prayers. I was writing out my prayers, and I was at home, and my mom had died, and I had now come back to New York for the funeral. And I was, you know, with Patrick on our bed, and I was just writing out my prayers to God, and I was mad. I was mad. You know who I was mad at?
God.
I was mad at God. I was mad at the false teachers that taught her wrong things. I was mad at my mom for being stubborn. I was mad at a lot. And, you know, as I'm writing it out, you know, I just feel my eyes tearing up. But then I had to take that emotion and then make it righteous.
Come on.
I had to take that discouragement and repent. If you ever read the Psalms, it's really incredible. Because
yeah.
That's really what the Psalms are. They're prayers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you read Jeremiah, he'll talk about, man, you did this. But then David's like, oh, I feel like this. Yet this I bring to mind, and therefore I have hope. You know, like that, you always see the transition right there.
Yes.
And I needed to have that transition. And so I was praying, and I could see Patrick, like, out of the corner of her eye, looking at what I was writing. And Patrick, she has beautiful large eyes. So I can see her eyes just getting bigger and bigger. She's like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with my husband? Is he going to fall away? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I was just being honest.
Yeah, that's right.
I was being honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I literally went, but yet, God, I remember your sovereignty. I remember how I reached out to my mom. And she said, Andrew, I see that repenting of my sins and being baptized into Christ, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, is biblical and it's right. But I cannot accept it. Because if I accept it, I condemn all my family before then. And therefore, I would rather believe the lie than believe the truth.
Wow. Come on. All right. Sorry, bro.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I mean, this woman came from Jamaica, made her way to New York, nursing school, went on to become a nurse administrator,
mm-hmm.
ran the entire stuff for the hospital, Brookdale Hospital. Brilliant woman, my mother was. But sentimental, and that sentimentality led her astray. She would rather believe false doctrine to make herself feel better about her family than obey God's word. There are people here in Nigeria that no matter how much you show them the Bible, they will still not believe.
That's right.
You know why? Because the veil has clouded them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to believe. It's a cataract, it's like an eye. It's just the great cataract of false doctrine.
Yeah.
The great cataract of sin. They don't want to believe because if they believe, that means they have to change. And they don't want to change. That's the issue. Where are you this morning?
Come on.
Do you even want to change? Are you going to leave here and have the same prayer life you did before? Or are you going to truly start working out your heart in your prayers? Turn over to Luke chapter 11 here. I want to close so that we can hear a communion contribution this morning.
All right.
God knows the danger of discouragement in prayer. And he gives us parables to highlight the problem. I don't believe there are any other instance of the Lord's teaching where he told two different stories to teach the same lesson. Take a look here in Luke chapter 11, verse 5. The Bible reads, mind you, he has just given a whole teaching on prayer in Luke chapter 11, 1-4.
That's right.
That's where we get our whole Acts prayer from. You understand? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. You understand that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Luke 11, 1-4, that whole Father, hallowed be your name, that's adoration. Forgive us our sins, confession. Thanking God for our daily bread, that's T. Supplication, right? Lead us not into temptation. ACTS, Acts. They call it the Acts Prayer because that really should be the foundation for our prayers. Mm-hmm. Our prayers should be adoring God, confessing our sins, thanking God for all He's given us, and then God supply my needs. Mm-hmm. But what do people usually start with?
Supply
my needs! God, please!
Give me!
You with me?
Yeah.
That's what happens way before the other three.
Right.
But then, after he gives his teaching on prayer, look what he does next in verse 5. Then he said to them, suppose, so now he's illustrating the prayer. Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Okay, mind you, when did he go to him?
Midnight.
At midnight. If someone comes knocking on your door at midnight, what would you do? If someone calls you on your phone at midnight, what would you do? Huh? Okay. Suppose one of you has a friend. He has a friend. He's a friend. What if a fellow disciple does that? 12 midnight. Ha! He said, hey, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. 3 loaves. I barely have 1 loaf in my house. You want 3 loaves. 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him.
Wow.
Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. And my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs.
Wow.
You know, God wants to give us what we need. But are we persistent? Are we persistent? When do you finally give up? Because according to the word of God, the Bible says we should not give up. Take a look over in Luke 18. In Luke 18, here's another parable specifically teaching people not to be discouraged in their prayer lives.
Amen.
In Luke 18, verse 1, it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. Have you given up?
Come on, bro.
Are there prayers in your life that you've lost hope?
Come on.
Have you lost hope? Because what's hope? Hope is a positive expectation for the future.
Right.
Hope is the only way we're going to be faithful. Because faith is being sure of what you hope for. So if you're not hopeful, you cannot be faithful.
Come on, bro.
Did you catch that?
Right.
If you don't have a positive expectation for the future, if you don't have hope, you cannot be faithful. Let that sink in right there.
Come on.
It says here, verse 2, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what that unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? What's the answer?
No.
I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Do we pray with faith or do we just pray?
Come on, bro.
Does prayer produce peace? The only way is if we pray with faith. You know, each one of these parables, guys, was someone in desperate need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now, we need to be praying for our missions contribution.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Guys, we need to blow it out.
Yeah.
Not everyone is being completely sacrificial. There are some that are. There are others that are not. And those that are working so hard to give contribution. I mean, just by the way, Patrick and I give a third of the contribution.
Wow.
I want to help you to understand. There are pastors out there that give nothing and call their church to give. We give a third of the contribution in this church.
Yeah. Come on.
I don't say that to embarrass. I say that to call you to imitate.
Come on.
I call you to imitate our hearts to sacrifice. And I'm not calling you to do anything I'm not doing myself.
Yeah.
It's time, guys. You know, we're going to run this Sunday, this Saturday. It's going to be awesome.
Amen.
I'm going to send you. Joshua updated the run for missions.
Amen.
So you can, I'll send it out on WhatsApp tonight. You can print it off and go sign up sponsors. But you got to ask yourself, what am I going to do? Am I going to be persistent? Because I want to give God glory through our contribution. I want to see more people raise up and go on staff. Like Kyanne, like
on.
Michael, Ralph DeLapo. Get more people on
Amen.
Staff. Is that what we want?
Yeah. Amen.
Do we want to bring in people here for our African Missions
yeah.
Conference next year?
Yeah.
Guys, is that what we want?
Amen.
Do we want to see all Africa evangelized, or are we just talking a good game?
Yes.
It takes sacrifice.
Sure.
You want your kid to go to be educated and be prosperous? You pay your school fees.
Right.
You don't say, oh, let me just keep talking about, yes, I really want to pay my school fees, and you do nothing.
Okay.
It's an investment because we believe that God will work powerfully. Where are you today? I'll tell you right now, you may be praying, you may not be praying, but I want to challenge you. This week, guys, let's go after it.
Amen.
Let's go after getting people to sign us up. We don't want to go running on Saturday if we don't even have any sponsors. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Let's call your friends. Call your friends and say, guys, listen, we've been studying the Bible together. Can you help support me? I'm not just asking you to give me money. I'm going to go out there and run till I sweat. Run till I ache, and I'll be leading the charge. So that we can raise money for missions work across Africa. People give money for all this stuff. They give money, 20,000 naira to get new hair. 15,000 naira to get, not even 15, for shoes and clothes. People spend money here, guys.
Yes.
They spend money on what they value.
Yes, that's true.
I've never come to a nation with more weaves in my life.
Right.
People spend money on what they want and value. I'm not saying memes are wrong. Don't get me wrong. Memes are awesome.
Come on, bro. Cheer your heart.
But we spend money on what we want to spend money on.
Right.
Come on, bro.
Are we giving our best to God?
Amen.
Guys, prayer. God wants to answer our prayers. We're too busy not to pray. And prayers protect us from discouragement. You know, I want to encourage you guys. Without prayer, you'll always be discouraged. Without prayer, you'll always be discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
With prayer, you won't.
Yes.
Amen.
With prayer, you won't. I'll leave you with this prayer. In Psalms 91. And then we'll close out with prayer and have communion. The Bible reads here in Psalms 91. I want to encourage you guys because God wants to answer our prayers. In Psalms 91, verse 14, the Bible reads, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name.
Amen.
He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And the church said, amen.
Amen.
That's what our God wants to do for you.
Amen.
I pray that we will truly be men and women of prayer. Let's go to our Lord. Father God, we adore you. We stand in awe of how you stoop down to make us great. God, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your compassion and forgiveness in my life. God, I thank you for calling me out in the middle of nowhere in upstate New York, sending a disciple to meet me in a lunch line, inviting me to the church that was an hour and a half away because you delighted in me, because you wanted to be united with me.
Yes, Lord.
Each and every person in this church, God, you called them. You've chosen them.
Yeah.
God, I thank you for that. I thank you for your love and mercy in our life.
Amen.
If you were to keep a record of sins, we could not stand. And so, God, I pray right now, forgive us of our cowardice. Help us to be bold in sharing our faith. Forgive us for our unbelief. Help us to see that prayers will be answered if we have a pure heart. If we surrender our prayers to you. God, I pray, please help us to be just empty vessels. Help us just to pour ourselves out. God, we know that if we are full of ourselves, there's nothing you can put in us. And so, God, remove the pride. Remove the self-sufficiency. Remove the independence. God, I pray that we can be your vessels, your instruments.
Amen.
That you can just speak through.
Amen.
In Lagos. Don't, please forgive us for holding back your message.
Yes, God.
Allow us, God, to be used by you.
Yes, God.
So that hundreds, if not thousands, will become part of your kingdom.
Amen.
God, we thank you for the saints here. We thank you for each and every disciple in this room. God, we thank you for all of our friends and guests that have joined us today. God, I pray they're moved. I pray they're moved by your word. I pray that your spirit moves them to be united in the word with us. God, I pray with all my heart and I thank you for the ways that you're even working now. Thank you for Ololade, God. Thank you so much for her soul. We cannot wait to see her become our sister today. God, we pray and we thank you for Josh Soso as well. God, we thank you for all the people studying the Bible right now. God, we beg you that they will make the decision to not walk to you, but run to you. God, we trust you. We trust your timing. We trust your providence. We trust your sovereignty. God, we put our humble requests before you. We don't deserve for you to answer them, but we trust, God, that according to your will be done. And so, Father, we are at peace. God, we pray with faith. And we thank you in advance for the ways that you're working even now. We love you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his example on the cross. Help us to live lives worthy of his sacrifice for us. Help us to remember that we are victorious when we rely on you in prayer. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, family. Love you.
Let's rise together. Song number 390, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.